This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
You already do our intro? Are we official?
You're official,
you know,
Joe.
Pastor Dave here, he counted backwards, but I'm not sure, you know.
Did he count it correctly?
Does the clergy know how to count backwards properly?
Generally, yes.
Generally, yes.
That's why we don't count the money.
Ah, they count backwards pretty good.
Oh, very good.
But not forward.
Okay, folks, write this phone number down. This is important. 1-888-221-8990. This is an important thing, class. If you're going to learn something, one, you got to know when to call. And in order
and
to know when
to call,
yeah, you have to know
the
number.
Get on the air. We won't bite.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily true, but, you know, probably won't bite them.
Speak for yourself.
1-888-221-8990. All right, this is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also, you know, what happens is sometimes you get titles that don't have to have any credentials or education or anything behind them. And financial advisor technically is one of those, even though
really?
Most of us, oh yeah. I mean, it's you can call, you can be an insurance agent and call yourself a financial advisor.
Oh, interesting.
There's not really a registration
so
for that name.
There's no misrepresentation
then.
No. Anybody could call themselves a financial advisor.
Quite honestly, they can. Like, I got a buddy of mine that's a CPA.
Yeah.
His degree is in cleaning, pressing, and alterations.
As opposed to being a certified pain?
Right, exactly. So, and I forget who it was. Dan was talking about somebody who had a whole bunch of letters after his name, and he made up a title, but it looked good, you know, for all the letters.
Yes.
And I look at, you know, I don't know, when you know how you have first impressions, and, and I don't care who you are, when you meet somebody the very first time, you automatically, you come up to an impression, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, I'm one of those that has always looked for the good in people, unless they become across as too pretentious or too arrogant, and that those people really aggravate me to no end. And then, you know me, a gentle person that I am.
You're gentle.
I know. I would never pick on them back and kind of...
Joe.
I know.
You're proverbially full of it.
I know. Thank you. Thank you. That was a compliment. So the concept of the show, very simply, is this. Starting in about 2004, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, started doing these radio shows, and the basic premise was pretty simple. I have a lot of clients here and in 13 other states that ask me questions that I don't know the answer to, and in my not too humble opinion, if you are a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals to the benefit of your client. So what we started doing in 04 has expanded to have Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, who's sitting here today, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's been a realtor and in the real estate business since 1978, who happens to be one of the top 100 Remax agents in the entire world.
And that's pretty impressive.
You know, poor Vic. Now, she's such a sweetheart. And this is a genuinely non-pretentious, not arrogant person. Humble person.
She's very competent.
She showed me this letter one time and she goes, Joe, I'm one of the top 100 agents in Florida. And I said, really? She goes, yeah, look here. Out of 100,000 agents in Florida, I'm one of the top 100. And I said, Vic, that's not Florida. There's not 100,000 agents in Florida.
Oh, now, she's cute.
Now, the reason she is what she is that she's the hardest working person alive. I mean, that girl just just thrives on work, and she's extremely credible. If she says she's going to do it, you take it to the bank. She's honest to a fault. She says she's going to call you at 3 in the morning. Don't go to sleep, or if you do, you're going to hear the phone call regardless. Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. How important he and Victoria have been during this last recession is hard to put into words. People would read and hear on the radio, TV, various media that there was no mortgage money available. Well, that was never true. What happened is mortgage money went back to the old rules, was you have to prove you can afford the house. Now, can you imagine what a rule that is? Can you pay us? Oh, you can't pay us? Okay, we'll give you the money. Uh-huh. That just never seems to have...
Oh, you said you earned how much? No problem.
We'll believe you, right?
We'll believe
you. So now you have to document...
Nobody's checking.
You have to document that you have a job. You have to document if you have money in the bank. You have to prove where you got the money. If all of a sudden you got 50 grand in a bank and it hasn't been there for more than an hour, they're curious about how did you get that money.
Right. Well, they're all concerned about laundering.
There's money laundering.
Money laundering and all that good stuff.
Or you could have borrowed it and you have to pay it back. They want to know what the reality is of how are you going to afford to make this payment. And that's the whole concept. So what Mike does, and this to me is the only way people should be buying real estate, you go to a person like Mike first, and he runs a credit check with your authority and tells you within 15 minutes after talking to you what you can qualify for.
Right. It's important.
So now he says, okay, you can qualify for $1,100 or $1,200 a month, pick a number. That's principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Now let's work it backwards. How much house can we get for that based on today's interest rates, etc.? And he'll tell you, okay, fine. What you should do is look for a house between $240,000 and $260,000. Say that's your spread. So you know right away that you're not out looking at $500,000 house that you'll never qualify for. Then all you're doing is spinning your wheels. So
absolutely. It saves you a lot of time.
Well, you and sellers have become a little more sophisticated also. Like when a buyer comes in and says, okay, I want a contingency in the contract for financing. Now, you and I, Vince, or maybe Pastor Dave even would say, uh-huh, what kind of work do you have? You and I would, for sure. Mm-hmm. How long you been there? What do you make? And if the person says, well, it's none of your business, I say, well, guess what? Forget that contract, because we want to make sure you're going to qualify, because you're going to take this house off the market for 60, 90 days, 120 days, or maybe longer, depending on...
And then to bring it back up to speed again to be at the same place is another 60 days.
Another
so
problem.
It costs you a lot of time.
A lot of time.
Time is money.
Exactly. So the concept is that this system, if it's the cart and the horse are put in the proper order, life is best for everybody. And every once in a while, especially in a very hot real estate market, a house will come on the market and all of a sudden there's six people that want to buy it. And if you're the seller, you're going to look at the most qualified person because you want the least amount of aggravation.
Exactly.
So,
and you might favor somebody who's not going for a mortgage at all. Come in and buy cash.
If they go, hey,
that's a consideration
they,
also.
They got cash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they put down a good chunk for a deposit. Mm-hmm. You know, you want the whole concept of real estate. When you have a good realtor and a good mortgage person in between you and the seller or the buyer, whichever side you're on, it just makes life simpler. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. See, is there anybody else that I missed? Greg Fasula,
well,
I talked
Greg,
about.
Greg, you talked about Mike Paulus, right?
I talked about Victoria.
Victoria, Dan Warren.
Dan Warren, independent insurance agent when we started off. Big word, independent.
Absolutely. And Dan, I've got a referral for him.
Dan, in my not too humble opinion, is the premier and independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, 37 years in business. Under his umbrella are roughly 100 different companies. Why is that important? Well, just take Joe Martek as a perfect example.
If we have to.
You have no choice because I'm talking.
It's his show.
So I was my car insurance got a little bit steep for a while because my driving record was abysmal.
Nah.
Yeah, it was called bad. I'm using abysmal because it sounds better than bad. Or it sounds...
Dreadful.
Dreadful. Good other word. Anyway, so my insurance for car, my cost for car insurance was like $350 a month.
Whoa. Now that's steep.
Pretty steep. Now, you know, I'm driving that red Mustang convertible. They don't like that.
No, you know, all you old guys with those...
I know. Male menopause.
You got it.
But you know, I went to a client of mine, Dave, and I said, I got a male mental pause car, old lady. And she goes, what red convertible did you get?
So, but it's a beautiful car, though.
But yeah. Dan lowered me by $200 a month.
Wow. Seriously? Well, he pushed you from $350 to $150?
Yeah. What happened is, you have to understand what happened, though. Mm-hmm. I was given a very firm lecture by his people saying, Joe, please, 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 if you ever want us to do a job for you, you have to quit getting tickets. Well, you know, it's a bit of a motivation, a couple hundred bucks a month. That's a motivation. So I've been really I upset myself every once in a while when I don't take a full stop. I do a rolling stop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
and sometimes I've really rolled heavy on those corners on a right turn.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, thank you, Laura. There's not a cop right there because he'd nail me big time, and I deserved it, you know. So, and I use cruise control constantly now whenever I can, because you know, cars, they don't care what you think.
Rolling is better than not stopping at all. In my community, that's what happens. People come in the main gate, and they just come roll. Zipping around. They don't even stop at the stop sign. I said, one day there's going to be a serious.
They're going to blow that stop sign.
They're going to blow it, and somebody's going to hit them head on, coming the other way.
Well, and it happens. But you know, understand, that's a problem. But when you do it inside a gated community, it's not as severe as when you do it out on a street.
Because the cops can't come in.
That's my point. Yeah, you just run somebody over. It's not a big deal.
You get killed, but that's no problem.
Just explain those handlebars on the hood or a hood ornament.
Hood ornament. Right. Anyway. So the concept of the group was to help people in all different areas, and we've been very blessed and very fortunate that we have. And we our game plan here is to educate people and teach them what's going on. And you know, I had I talked about it on our other show we did this morning, WPSL 1590 AM at 11 o'clock. And I might have talked about this last week, and I don't remember. One of the perks of getting old is, you know, your memory slips.
I can't remember.
But I had a client of mine recently, a widow, that, in fact, Vince, I probably did talk about this because I think you were there helping me along, so keeping me in line. And she has a daughter that's living with her now, and she says, I want to put my daughter on my house, you know, because it's my daughter. And when I die, she's going to get that house. And I said, I don't think so. This is not a good idea. Did I talk about that, Dave?
I believe you did.
Do you remember it?
Not entirely.
Not entirely. One of the perks of getting old, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's what happens. Let's say I buy a house 20 years ago for $100,000, and now it's worth $300,000. If I sell it, my cost basis is $100,000. I can add expenses to that, you know, what I've spent for a new roof or whatever, and then I sell it for $300,000. Unless it's my primary residence, I have to pay tax on that money, on that gain. Now, in our federal law, a primary residence we can make, if we're married, up to $500,000 with a profit, and there's no tax.
Mm. But not only if you're married, you have to file jointly.
Yes, that too. Now, if you're single or filing separately, it's $250,000 that you can make and no tax. Mm. However, you have this homestead. I live in this house. So when she adds her daughter to that house, and she's on the deed, we have a bit of a problem going back to the cost basis when mom bought it 20 years ago and daughter gets it. So I suggested strongly they did not add daughter to the name on the house, but do a trust and put the house in the trust and give it to the daughter when mom dies. When mom dies, it steps up to the value the day mom dies. So let's say it's worth $300 on the day mom dies, daughter inherits it, daughter sells it for $300, no tax. Just that simple. Now, if she sold it for $350, $50,000 would be subject to tax. The key thing is this, and I've seen it happen quite often where people make a mistake with that, and I've also seen a terrible, terrible story where in fact, a regular listener, and I think I was the last person he talked to before he died up in PSL some years ago. He used to
What'd
call.
What'd you do to him?
It's a good question. We're not sure. But anyway, he lost his house because he put one of his kids on it who lived out of state, and this kid got sued and lost, and all of the assets were joint assets, bam, that house is gone. And the old man, he could have had homestead by himself, but as soon as he added that child to that house, no longer did he have a homestead.
It's a big consideration, Joe. It's big. A good point to make about people who want to add others to the deed.
Just don't do it. What you do is always have counsel. Counsel means talk to somebody like Vince, or talk to an attorney, talk to Joe Martek. You got to talk to somebody who's gone through this experience.
You're better off putting it in, let the trust own the property.
Put it in a trust. Once you've done this thing in a trust, you've eliminated a whole bunch of problems. You know, attorneys don't work for free, but trusts don't need to be that expensive, especially if you're not a very complicated person. If you've got 20, 30 pieces of real estate and you own a factory and all kinds of stuff, it can be very complicated. But if you're a normal person with your house and maybe one this and a bank account, it's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. So 1-888-221-8990. We're in the South now, you know.
We are in the South. You got to kind of draw it out a little bit. Yeah.
Well, the only
Vince is from the South Bronx.
Yes, actually, I am. Originally, I was born there.
There you go.
I didn't grow up there, though. But no, the only flip side of that, and most people don't get involved with this, is there is an estate tax.
Yeah.
There is an estate tax, $5.45 million right now.
Well, that means this: if you die and leave under $5.49 million,
then you don't have an estate tax, but you get the benefits of the step up.
Yeah,
that's the beautiful part.
Yeah.
So you get the benefit, but you don't have anything to pay for it.
Right.
Basically.
All it amounts to is, that means, let's say you die with $1 million, the money goes to whoever you want, and they don't have any tax on it, and the government doesn't get a piece of it because it's there. They're talking the new tax
code.
They
don't want to eliminate it completely.
You know, I
that's not going to, you know, the average Joe. Get affected by it anyway. Really, who it's helping is the very uber rich.
Very uber. The 99.99% of the people in the world don't leave 5.5 or more million.
Exactly.
You know, so that's a whole different ballgame. And the people I know that have these multi-millions very often have found counsel with family limited partnerships and other vehicles that they can shelter quite a bit on top of the 5.5 million to avoid tax. So, I mean, there's all kinds of strategies, and there's not experts sitting here right now to do this, because there are very specialized people that handle these multi-millionaires and help them avoid these
and
taxes.
And by the way, they're not cheap, but then everything's relative. I mean, it costs you $50,000 to set up one of these deals, where you have overseas, you know, family partnerships where they're out of the reach of everybody.
Yeah.
And
it's
complicated and it costs you.
It's very expensive, but also the people that are the most credible that do these things, they've been tested in court already.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the critical thing,
that's
is to make
what you want to look for.
Oh boy, that's when you got that kind of bucks and they say, trust me,
trust me.
Not doesn't work. You've got to show that it's been tested. And there's court cases
to
right.
And then, as you and I both know, and you especially, Vince, the tax code changes from time to time. Only 70,000 pages.
72,000 pages, and they want to simplify now.
Now it's going to go up to 80,000 pages.
Probably.
You know,
every time they set out to simplify, doesn't get simplified.
It's a very interesting concept. Anyway, so our game plan here is to educate people. So that's one of the things that I talk about, is just be careful when you talk about adding a child to a piece of real estate, especially your homestead.
Absolutely.
Now, what do we got? We got a question.
We got a question from a caller. A lady purchased a new home recently, and her husband is on the title, but he's not on the mortgage.
Okay.
Okay.
And she wants to know, does she have to put him on the application for homestead exemption?
Well, if he's on the deed to the house, they own it together. How she got a mortgage with him?
Now, well, you could do that.
You're oftentimes on the mortgage, but not on the note. They don't sign the note.
Well, if you don't have a note, you're really on the mortgage, because the mortgage is backed up by the note.
I know, but literally, the answer is to her. Yes, she should put him, because he's registered as part of the owner.
Part of the ownership, yeah.
So she should, when she goes for homestead, because they're going to show that deed. That deed is recorded, and that deed will show them both as owners. So the answer is yes. Now, I actually bought a piece of property years and years ago. Whoop, here we got another call. Let's just take this and we'll talk about this again. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir, Joe. I was calling to ask you a question. I have rented a piece of property for like 4 years, and I have horses on it, and the man is telling me he wants to sell it now. And I was just trying to make the right decision. The trailer is very old. It's 25 years or older, and it's not in very good shape. And the land, you know, it's okay. The land is roughly going from $7,000 to $10,000 an acre, and there's 3 acres there, or 3 lots. And he's asking like $70,000, or said he was asking $90,000, but then he'd take $70,000, and I don't know. I've never met the guy. He's from New York, and I've rented for him for 4 years, so... And I was just trying to make the right decision. I've been praying about it, and we have property on that same road. It's way out in a area where it's wooded, you know, it's by a state park, and we were considering putting a manufactured home on our property, a new one, you know, instead of versus buying that one. And I was just trying to get some wisdom on that, if you had any ideas.
My question is this. You're saying it's worth maybe $30,000, and maybe that trailer that's on there now in rough shape might be worth $1,000, $5,000, pick a number, but not much. Am I right?
You said it exactly right, Joe. That's exactly what the same figures I had in my mind was, maybe $30,000 for the land and maybe $5,000 if you was lucky for the trailer.
Okay, now here comes the next question. That figure, yes, that you've come up with, this $30,000, how accurate is that figure? I mean, what basis, how did you come to that figure?
I'm going on the basis of, we just have been buying property out there in the same area. We have bought property, and I'm going off of that for the land value.
Okay.
And now, as far as the trailer goes, that was just like talking to some contractor friends of mine.
Right.
And they said that trailer is not up to code at all anymore, and it's very old, and it has,
yeah, you know, it's not worth much. It may not even be worth $500 in truth. Whoever wanted to get it and drag it off of there might not even be able to get it off of there, because when they're that old.
Exactly. They won't even allow you to haul it, if I understand.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. So, now, here, why is, did you talk to the seller how he came up to his figure?
I believe it's just because, you know, he's the type of man that wants to just make money hand over fist, really greedy probably, because he's got 4 years worth of rent off me, and then he wants to hold the note at 7.5% and me put down $15,000 and stuff like that. And then if everything goes bad, then, you know, he
can take it and make, he can double dip. You know, have you talked to him one on one? Have you guys ever,
yes, sir,
you've met?
And I've never met him.
Okay.
In 4 years, I've talked to him on the phone.
I probably, see, here comes a fine line where you don't want to insult somebody, but on the other hand, yep, you don't want to be taken advantage of, even though you may want the property. If you pay twice what it's worth, you're going to have to live 30 or 40 more years to make it ever pay, which is, you know, I don't know how old you are, but you sound not old enough to do that. Or maybe, yes, too, sir, old, to too, too old to do that. So I guess what I would probably do, if it was me and Vince, counsel me here, I'd write him a letter, and I said, hey, here's the comparables in our neighborhood. This is what they're selling for, and I just don't feel comfortable with that $70,000 figure. I would probably offer you $35,000 under the same scenario with $15,000 down, and you carry the note. And see what he comes back with.
In the end, Joe, the seller can ask anything that
they
want for it.
Yeah.
You need to make a counteroffer based on your knowledge of the area,
yeah,
and the property value. You're absolutely right. Get the comps, make a reasonable offer.
Make a reasonable offer.
And see what comes out of that.
When you do the comparables, you can get actual deed recordings. You know that, down at the car. You can show where, yes, they'll close. You can get copies of them. And when you send them the letter and say, these are people, here's the map, here's the aerial, here's the exact, and I want the property. I feel comfortable with it, and I know we've been, you know, I'm a good tenant. But I think, you might say this. I talked to my CPA, who's also from New York, and he says just because it's a lot of land, and if it was in New York, it'd be worth a lot, but not in Florida.
Right? Yeah,
not in Florida. Exactly.
It's true.
It's not in New York. Exactly.
Exactly.
And plus, caller, you know, circumstances change every day in,
yeah,
people's,
yeah,
lives.
Yeah.
You don't know, yeah, their financial situation. Maybe at this particular time he's looking to get rid of it. You timed it perfectly well, and he might accept your offer.
Yeah.
So you never, yes, know what's happening until you make the offer. And Joe is right. Put it in writing.
Put it in writing.
An official offer.
Yeah.
And then
back it up. Back it up with good, solid information. And I would make it a gentle letter. I wouldn't be antagonistic.
Yes,
just
sir.
To say, because he might be thinking, you know, this dumb guy down there that doesn't know nothing about nothing. He may think it's New York values, and maybe I can get him to do $70,000, and I won't feel sorry for him for more than an hour. You know.
Because you had the right point. You have the right point there, Joe, about kicking yourself later
for not
having made that choice. Because I have, as a very young man, I did that, expecting somebody was going to be fair. Guess what? There is no such thing. And well, so you don't make a counteroffer, and you just sit there and say, well, if that's what he wants, then I really want it that bad, I'm going
to
pay for
it. And then you have to live with a bad decision. So, yeah, I would just draft a letter and form it an offer, what you're willing and document it, and I bet you if he may be greedy, but the bottom line is he's probably seeing how smart is this guy down there in Florida. Maybe he's dumb enough to give me $70,000. And
sir.
And make sure this offer, actually, you may want to bounce it off an attorney, only because you want to make sure the offer is just that, just an offer, and there has to be more to come in order to consummate a deal.
Yeah, well, it's a letter. I very often, when I used to be in real estate, we had what's called letter of intent.
There you go, it's like that.
And you can phrase it, sir. Put that up at the top of the letter, a letter of intent, and then it doesn't need to be legalese. You write out, this is my intent, this is my purpose, and here's what I want to do, and yes, I like it, and I understand your position, da-da-da-da-da-da, and you can put all that in the letter. It doesn't need to be clinical.
Because he doesn't want to be locked in if there are environmental issues, if there's wetlands that have to be dealt with.
If he's going to hold the paper,
yes,
which is not the same thing as getting an existing mortgage on a piece of property that may have problems, but you already know the property intimately because you've been renting it for 4 years, right?
Yep.
So,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page.
Okay. And one other question, if you would please, Eric, could give me some advice. Just say he's talking now like he has a buyer that's very interested, but he said that he wanted to do the right thing and offer it to me first. Okay.
There are four people, three of us sitting here and you on the phone, that have all heard this before.
Mm-hmm. We're smiling,
yes,
caller.
Yes.
We're smiling at that comment.
You know, I hate to say this. Honesty,
yes,
honesty and buying and selling real estate kind of don't jive often.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about. That's one of the oldest ploys in the world.
Yeah, I've got this buyer over here. You've got to make your decision fast because I'm going to sell it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And the other question I had, if you would please, is I have horses there, and I've been renting, and I've been a good tenant. If he did sell it or got a contract, I mean, does he have to give me time to get out? Or, I mean, how's that legality go with that?
Now I'm not an attorney.
No, we're not attorneys.
However, there is landlord-tenant laws in Florida. Do you have a written lease with him? Or do you,
no, sir.
You just
no,
have
sir. No,
okay. Now, but there are certain laws to protect you. And what I would do is this. I would first write the letter and talk to him and see what he comes back with. If he comes back and does a hardball thing and said, nope, I'm selling it to somebody else, you got to be out in 24 hours. Hey, now we know an attorney that you can talk to and we can bring up the law, but I'm almost positive that landlord-tenant law says they can't do that to you that quick.
Well, they've got to be reasonable. They've got to demand him to get out in 24
got,
hours.
They've got to provide you with paperwork delivered by a sheriff or somebody like that, gives you official notice, and it gives you some time. And I don't know what the law is, but I know it's not that quick. He could be just a hard-nosed person, and that's called life. But hey, you come in as a nice guy and a gentle person and not stupid, and then make your offer. And then if he comes back and says, no, tough, I really do have a buyer and a guy's stupid, and I'm going to get it to him for $70,000, and you got 24 hours to be out of here, then you're going to have to go to an attorney and file a piece in the courthouse that'll stop that, because you can stop, literally you could stop something like that for a year with a lawsuit. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be overly concerned about that.
Okay, yes, sir. I was just wondering about that too, but I really would like to have the place, but you know, and my mother and sister live with me now. I mean, my stepdad died. She come back to Tennessee, and we're all kind of getting together again. And I've been divorced for 7 years, unfortunately. And, you know, God has brought us back together, and I'm glad our families get together. And we're just trying to enjoy life. That's it. Nothing special. Just have a place to live. And
I understand exactly. I would really write on that letter, and then you know.
Yes.
And then
it's the first step.
That's the first step.
Make him an offer.
Yeah.
He might come back with a counter.
Yes.
He might come back. And I also would, Vince, if I was going to send him that letter, would I do a return receipt?
Oh, absolutely. Certify it.
A certified letter.
At least you have a receipt.
At least you know for sure he got it. You have it dated and documented. I do everything FedEx, which is the same concept. But if you don't have a FedEx account, certified letter from the post office does the same thing. Anyway,
okay.
Yeah. Well, good luck on that. Any way we can help you, and if he does come and play hardball, we've got the attorney that can help you and guide you. And you know, and a letter from attorney oftentimes wakes people right up.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean.
Well, listen. God bless y'all, and y'all are my prayers. And this radio station has really helped me change my life. And I donate when I can. It's not much, but I'm not the best financial means, but. I do, and I can't tell you how much I thank y'all fellers. I really thank you.
Well, hey,
we're
listen.
We're happy to help, caller. God bless you in your endeavor.
I thank you, and what I've always said, you know, I plan on going to heaven, and if it's a bus, I really don't want to be all the way in the back, and if I can take a couple of demerits off and get midship, maybe you're helping me a bit.
Yes. Okay, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Have a good one.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you too, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's a... You know, people do play hardball, you know, and you try to do the right thing. And boy, it's tough when you're trying to do the right thing on this side and you got another guy playing hardball and not being totally honest with you. That is one of the oldest ploys in the world.
Yeah, I've got another bar. Now, sometimes it's true.
Sometimes it is true.
They do.
And I'm doing the right thing by giving you first offer for double the value.
All right. But you know what? Yeah. If you have the comparables and you know what it's worth.
Yeah.
Then if he says he's got another buyer for double what it's worth, then God bless you. Go get it,
and then he's going to get notice and let him go find another piece of property to rent and move the horses.
Exactly.
And they're there. You know, I mean, let's face it. You know, that's not a problem finding a place. It's the time frame to do all that, which if you're under the gun. But he doesn't. Once, if somebody played hardball with us, I guarantee you that's a mistake because we know enough people and enough stuff about the law to be dangerous. And then,
from a practical point of view, Joe, if it depends on the rent. I mean, if he pays in advance, which most places make you pay in advance,
right?
So you know you have at least 30 days to get out.
But even then, I just know that you can file certain paperwork that buys you a whole bunch of time. I've seen tenants, and so have you, that know the law much better than any attorney because they do it all the time.
24 hours is unreasonable in anybody's book.
Oh, yeah. Joe. Yeah. Yeah. 1-888-221-8990. I've been talking about this a bit on the radio about 401ks and 403bs, about rollovers. Like when somebody works for a company, and they leave that company, and they had a retirement plan.
Right.
Now, I don't care what kind of retirement plan it is. If they've worked there for a period of time, it's often vested. Vested means ownership. Now, sometimes companies will say, hey, you've got to live with us work for us for 5 years before you're totally vested, and they vest like 20% a year of the account. But then after 5 or 7 or 3 or 9 years, it's 100% your money.
Right.
Now, that money's never been taxed, and it's now under the control of the company's plan, but under almost all circumstances, and I say almost all because I don't know anyone that is not there, that money can be rolled away from that employer and put into your own account, and now it's not called a 401k or a 403b or a 457 or pick a number. There's like 10 more plans. I mean, let your mind wander, right, Vince? I mean,
you could go into an IRA. You could put it into a self-directed IRA.
The IRA means an individual retirement account that you now control, which means instead of having an employer control it, you decide where that money's going to go and what it's invested in. Now, very often people say, well, I have no idea what to put it in. Well, that's where a guy like me comes in, or Vince, where we counsel you and say, hey, what's your goal? How long are you going to be? Like today, Vince, I was talking on WPSL and an actual client of mine called up, and I was talking about the fact that the market's pretty full today. The market's been hotter than a pistol. I'm not saying it's going to stop, but according to the numbers of rules, it's pretty much a full boat, and to get in when, you know, the old rule is buy low, sell high. Yeah. Well, the average person buys high and sell low because it's, all their friends are happy. Let me take this call.
Take the call.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
All right, Joe. Good afternoon. The Lord bless you, whatever you do to help people, even if I don't get help or good advice. But I'm going to ask anyway. The Lord bless you all that really do this kind of job.
Thank you.
I know it's not an easy job, but thank God that the Lord gives you input and he guides us in whatever we do to try to help others. And I think by the grace of God is what you guys are doing by helping people to understand. Because there's a lot of things that I do too that I didn't understand, and listen to certain programs and what I go through already, you know, it kind of get me to listen to this program. And I was in foreclosure before, and about four years ago, I get out of it. But unfortunately, the job market gone down again, and then I'm struggling for job. And I find myself now, just for 1 month, that I'm not going to be able to come up with the mortgage. So I don't know how many times they offer modification. I don't know if you guys know how many times.
There's no 100% rule. Here's the number one thing I would do. If you can't make the payment this month, the first thing I would do is call the mortgage people that you're making the payment to and explain your situation on the phone. And when you talk to that person, get their name, their date, the time of day, write it down, and explain to them what you're going to do to make that payment. Now, maybe the payment's, let's say, $800, and maybe you've got $200 or $300, and tell them you're going to send in the $200 or $300. You'll do the best you can, but you have a situation. Now, normally, most lenders won't start a foreclosure process for a period of at least 90 days, sometimes longer. They may threaten you. They may say all kinds of stuff. But if you communicate with them up front, call them, talk to them, document who you talk to, and ask them to help you and to work with you because you're a good person and you want to do the right thing and you want to pay, but you're into a bad situation. And once you get over this situation, and very often they will do a modification. And in fact, because of this great recession that we went through, a lot of lenders are much easier to work with than they were prior to that because of the abuses. So first step is get on the phone, call them, and document exactly what happens, and then do the best you can to pay as much as you can, and then see if they'll work with you. And if you have a problem, you call back here. We'll talk to you. I don't mind calling them for you. Very often you get a person that's a third party that is not you. They listen a little bit better to somebody else. So, you know, we're here to help you and understand the situation, but I would bet you if you call them up and talk to them that they'll work with you.
Thank you so much for your advice. What I did yesterday, I called the bank that I have the mortgage with. And I spoke to them, and they said, okay, they will send me out a letter after they overhaul everything. But I'm just so afraid, started to get depressed and trembling, like, because I don't want to go back into foreclosure.
Well,
but this is just the...
If you're not even one, if you're only one payment behind, they're not going to foreclose. They may come up and give you a bit of a story. But the bottom line is they're not going to go that fast. This is almost against the rules. Even though legally they can, I've not heard of anybody doing a one month. Normally it's got to be a period of time. And then if they come through and they say they're going to start, then we also have an attorney you can get involved in. An attorney can buy you probably another 3 to 6 months by writing some letters and saying. And it gives you some time to get back on your feet.
So you
take the step. Don't tremble. Don't worry. They're not going to take your house now. It's not going to happen. Wait for the letter. If the letter doesn't come in 4 or 5 days, then call them up and say, I didn't get your letter. And talk to them. Just don't ever hide from them. Talk to them and communicate.
No, I don't want to hide because it damaged, it messed me up in 2013 by getting so depressed. And But thank God they did submit and, you know, do the modification. But now because of jobs,
I know,
I can't come up back with the amount of money, and I always pay every first of the month.
Well, you hang in there. We'll say some prayers for you, and you pray.
Amen. But, amen. I know prayers work.
Okay.
Because I see what God do for me.
And I'd hate to tell you this. I know you're going to win. This is going to happen because you're a good person, and this lender is going to work with you. So you just hang in there and bite your lip. And you're going to make it happen. And if any way we can help you, we will. So you keep us informed every week of how you're doing, okay?
I am going to, because I love this program. I was like, I found it just this morning.
Well,
and I said, oh, my God.
Good. Wonderful.
God is so good.
There you go. You. God's working in your life again.
See? And you know, we're very blessed that we're able to help people. So we feel...
God bless you all. I don't know how many people around this table now are around the program. But I know that God is a good God, and He promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us.
That's right.
He will be always there. Just will always be with you, sir, strengthening you, guiding you, protecting you along your way, giving you the words to talk to people that you can convince us to come and give us soul to the Lord.
Hey, guess what? I think that God led you to us today, and maybe we led each other. And all I know is that Pastor Dave's sitting over here, and he's looking
Hallelujah.
At me, and he what Pastor Dave is saying, Joe, I'm going to have you come preach at my church from now on.
There you go.
All right, you have a wonderful day, and you call us and keep us informed how you're doing, okay?
Remember, keep my name now. My name is Norma, so when I call, you remember that I spoke to you today.
Norma, I'll never forget you, because there was another very famous lady named Norma Jean.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The Lord bless you and keep you all. Thank you so much for listening to
me. Okay, bye-bye.
Nice lady. Very nice lady. Well, wish her the best. I think you're right, Joe. Mm-hmm. The bank will be looking to work with her. I mean, they don't want to foreclose.
No. What happened is the big lenders got in such trouble for doing the robo filings and stuff. And now they're going to work with her. But, you know, here's the rule. And I both know. You have to communicate.
Exactly.
Don't hide. And this lady's not going to. She's already communicated. And they'll send her a letter. And they'll work with her. And if they start playing hardball, there's to play hardball.
Some recourse.
You know, we have things we can do to help her, to let her get back on her feet, because it may take a while. And hey, I don't, you know, good people sometimes get into trouble, and it happens.
Sure.
You know, listen, I've got a couple women out there that want to shoot me, and not my fault.
Keep running, Joe. Keep moving.
Keep running,
Don't
Joe.
Stand still
running.
Too long.
He's running for office.
This sounds like a theological statement there, Joe.
It does. You know, speaking of that, and just because in so many of the conversations that have occurred on the phone here,
right,
not just in this show, but throughout, right, as I've been listening, and we get a lot of people that are believers. You know,
yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. And God has, even with Norma, I think even inspired her to call today.
Yes.
And one of the things, and you say, we're here for you.
Yeah.
And when you say that, you know, it's God saying, and I'm going to work through, because God works through His people.
There you go.
And you're committed to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole collection of people caring about other people.
Well, you ever notice, and there's many, many cliches, God works in mysterious ways, and so do Italian wives, by the way, but, you know, we won't talk about them. But
I wouldn't know about that stuff, John.
All I know is this. Very often people are led in a certain direction to other people that can help them.
Right.
Now, you know, we got three old guys sitting here. Unfortunately, I'm the oldest one, which is not a pretty picture.
No, it's not.
Because you guys both look older than me. Wait a minute. I guess we have a denial there.
There's a little debate that's going to go on with that.
The light isn't very good in here.
So, that cataract surgery, I need it quick, right? Anyway, the key thing that we is this, and we ask you to kind of spread the word, tell your friends to listen, because we've got a group of professionals here, and I think there's over 200 years of combined experience. When I start adding up, I mean, it's way over 200.
It's over 200.
Because we've got...
I'm gonna add you to the mix, it's about 250.
Oh, man, 450. No. You know, that was it. That was that attorney that, you know, that got killed, and he shows up in heaven, and as he walks down the red carpet, there's 100 angels on each side of the red carpet with a bugle up in the air.
Mm.
And at the end of the red carpet stood God and St. Peter with their arms open, beaming. And this attorney walks up the aisle and says, "Wow," he said, "this is something else, but do you do this for everybody?" And God says, "No, my son, we don't do this for everybody, but it's not been since Noah that somebody's lived to be 300 years old." And the attorney says, "What are you talking about, 300 years old? I was an attorney in New York. I stepped off the curb, got run over by a bus. I'm 45 years old." And God looks at St. Peter and says, "Pete, how could you make that kind of mistake?" And St. Peter says, "It's not a mistake. I went through every one of his timesheets. That man is 300.
That's good, Joe. I like that.
Anyway.
No mistakes.
There's not too many stories I can tell on the radio, but I tell you, folks, and I had one of my favorite clients. He's an orchidist.
Oh, an orchidist, yeah.
One of a kind. And I said, "You know, I hope Jesus has a sense of humor." And he says, "Joe, I know he has a sense of humor. He has to put up with you."
True.
1-888-221-8990. But we've got a blessed group, and we're very fortunate. And it took us quite a few years to assemble a group of local professionals that we don't share commissions, we don't share fees, we don't share office space. My whole concept was try to find local people that are all going to die here, not necessarily soon, that are good people with integrity and experience and knowledge and credentials that are here to help. And, you know, I think everyone in our group is especially a believer in what goes around come around. That circle works time and time again. I often feel sorry for the people in life that we meet that I call short timers. They're out there to take advantage, and they think they're going to stay in business. And they come and go, and they come and go, and they come and go. But the long-termers, they do the right thing to the best of their ability every day.
That's right.
1-888. So I'm ready to preach at your church now. This is good.
You preach a lot less than I will.
We do have to account to a higher authority, Joe. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know.
All of us.
Maybe I better not preach. I know when I got baptized, and I think I told you this story. I was at Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida. This is 1982. And Sunday afternoon, I get this phone call. And I answer the phone, Joe Martek, and the guy on the other end of the phone says, "Bill Anderson here." And I says, Bill Anderson. I said, "I know two. One's a country singer and one's a preacher." And he says, "Well, I can't sing." And I said, "Bill, how you doing?" He says, "Good." He says, "Joe, I'm just a couple blocks away. I want to come visit." Now it's probably 6 o'clock in the evening, 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening. So I hang up the phone, and my wife says, "Who's that?" And I said, "Bill Anderson, Calvary Baptist Church." She goes, "What's he want?" And I said, "He's coming over. He'll be here in 5 minutes." "Holy mackerel, hurry up. Get some clothes." I got shorts and a T-shirt on, you know. "Hide that scotch."
Hide the scotch.
And I said, "No." I said, "No. No, this is my house, and this is who I am. I am who I am." So he comes in, he sits down at the table, and I guess I'll finish this story in a minute. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question. I asked them for immunization to print out for me for my loan.
Right.
And they refused to give me one. So I wanted to see how do I go back.
Your lender refused to do that? The bank you got the mortgage with?
That's odd.
Yeah.
Now, who did you talk to one person there?
Just one person.
Is it a local bank or on?
No, it's not a local.
Okay. And I've never heard of somebody denying an amortization schedule. What I would do is this. I hate to say this, but I often tell my girl in the office, don't take no for an answer until you got it three times. You call back, you'll get a different person, and you say, "Hey, this is me. Here's my account number. I want... if you don't mind, please mail me an amortization schedule for my mortgage." And they should, that's academic. I've never heard anybody saying no to that. So what I would do is call up again. You'll get a different person almost always. And just document each time you call who you talk to, what their name is, whether they say yes or no. Mm-hmm. And then I bet you'll get it. But I would, if you get another no, call back again the next day and ask another person.
Okay.
If you run into a problem with that, you call back next week on the show, and I'll call for you, because I can sound nastier than you, because you sound too sweet.
Okay. All right.
All right. You have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
Bye. Didn't she sound much sweeter than me?
Oh, but much. Yeah.
Well, that's not
that was easy. Okay. Well, I guess I shouldn't have phrased it that way. That was too easy.
But you know, there's some issue there. You know, when you say an amortization schedule, it depends on the mortgage you have too. If it's not conventional, it could be interest only. It could be, you don't know.
Let's assume that it's a conventional. Interest onlys are pretty rare these days. Normal people would, even if it has, it could be a 30-year amortization with a 5-year balloon. It can be an arm that can adjust, but still it would have an amortization schedule.
Well, still they should find out why they refuse to give her anything.
Yeah.
Because even an interest only should give you a statement of account. So shows you what the balance is.
There's got to be. So literally, and usually they give you a monthly accounting, shows you exactly what you owe.
Every month you get a statement. Yeah, usually, or you can go online and get it. It says, here's your balance, here's what you paid, principal interest.
If you're listening and you when you talk about this, you call back and we can talk about this more next week. But it's unusual
for a bank to give you that information.
Yeah, I'm just saying she might have caught somebody that had a fight with her husband that day or something.
By the way, I've done that before.
Oh, yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
Where I got an answer I knew it couldn't be true.
Right.
And I called back and I got a different answer.
Oh, yeah. No
it's
doubt
like calling the IRS.
Yeah.
Serious.
Well, it is.
Sometimes, they have people answering the phones and they try to give you answers to the best of their knowledge, but that's the problem. Not all of them are very knowledgeable.
Well, and sometimes, if it's a new person on the job and they don't know how to handle that, they don't want to get fired and they don't want to have a bad report, so they just tell you something to get rid of you. And if you don't document who it is, how many times I tell people it's so important, always get the name of the person. Now, if you call the IRS, they're going to give you their name and title,
and they give
badge number
up front.
Yes. That's the first thing they do. So
and by the way, most of them do know, or they tell you to look it up someplace.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't deliberately mislead anybody.
No,
All I'm saying is you're dependent on the person's knowledge base.
Exactly.
And what they know.
Well, ignorance does not mean you're not intelligent. It means you haven't learned it yet.
Exactly.
And sometimes there's new people on a job that they just haven't learned it yet. So as I'm finishing my story.
Oh, yes. You're talking about Pastor Anderson.
So he comes and sits at the table, and I'm there in my shorts and T-shirt, and my wife is nervous as all get out, and I've got my glass of scotch, and I'm having it there, and I said, he looks at me, and he says, Joe, I've been watching you. Now, this guy was a talent, Dave. He knew every single person that came into that church every week, and he knew them by name. I mean, he was what a gift the man had. There's a lot of people in life I admire, but I absolutely thought this guy was one of the greatest talents of all time. So he said, I've been watching you. Pretty soon you're going to openly walk down the aisle and openly confess your faith, and then the next week I'm going to dunk you. And I said, well, I got two questions. And I says, one, is the water warm? And he says, for you, maybe not, but for everybody else it is, because I have to go in with you. And I said, two, I drink scotch. And he said, I'll make you a deal. I won't tell you what to drink if you don't tell me what to preach. And I said, well, a couple of weeks later, I went and got dunked, and the water was warm. And it was one of the greatest experiences of my whole life, and always has been and always will be. So as things go, last time I walked on water,
It was frozen.
So
you don't qualify.
I don't qualify. 1-888-221-8990. But I was also talking about money today.
Yes.
And I was talking about the market. I'm a bit worried.
Talk about taxes?
It's
too?
Pretty full. I didn't talk about taxes because you know why?
Why?
Nobody knows what's going on yet.
Well, that's part of the problem.
You, of all the people in the world, I'm sure people are constantly talking to you, saying, Vince, what's going to happen?
And I tell them there's three brackets, but that's all we know.
three brackets. And
they're looking to cut out certain things.
Looking to cut out certain things.
Itemized deductions. Mm-hmm. They want to cut them out.
You and I both know, as it's been proposed, the odds of it flying the way it's proposed is pretty slim.
It's like the American Health Care Act. The odds of it passing in the way it is...
It's slim to none. Yeah.
And slim is out of town.
By the way, Warren Buffett and his sidekick and Bill Gates were on CNBC.
I saw them. Did you see that? Nice interview, with Becky.
And do you hear Medicare for Everyone?
Oh, no, I don't remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the big, big proponents. And all of a sudden, and I've been preaching that now for 2 years, that I think that America needs to have that single-payer system. See, I think it's still not fair that us old people, 65 and over, get Medicare. But if you're 64 and 11 months, you can't have it. That's discrimination.
Yeah. Well, did you know? Well, yeah, that's true, but that's the law. But, yeah, they had Ron Paul on this morning, I understand. I didn't see it. I only heard a snippet on the way to work.
And
they were talking to him about, you know, he's the senator.
Oh, yeah.
From Tennessee. And so they asked him about this American Health Care Act and what did he think it was, the likelihood of passing in the Senate. He said, very slim. And also, he said, the reason is that before Obamacare, the insurers were making about $4 billion a year. After Obamacare, they're making $15 billion a year. He says he thinks it's just one giant subsidy for the insurance companies. That was out of his He's thinking there's better ways to do it. He says maybe you can have pools of dollars people could aggregate, like unions.
He's got new plans, yeah.
He's got other arrangements that...
We'll see.
We'll see, too. Oh, he's a minority there.
Well, of course. Yeah. 1-8... I'm giving you this number. We're almost out of time. But you write this phone number down. You can call anytime during the week. You'll talk to Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom. Even is Karen still here?
Is Karen? Yeah, Karen, absolutely.
You can talk to not Pastor Karen.
No, not Pastor Karen. Not yet, anyway.
She'll take your name and number and have us call you. And we're here to help. We're here to answer questions. So anytime we can do it. I was starting to say, I was talking on the other station today about not being in the market, but staying with 5% and 6% instruments.
Right.
But I said I also kind of like REITs, REITs, real estate investment trust, because the real estate market's pretty strong. And in an inclining economy, not a declining economy, real estate stays strong pretty well. And there are real estate investment trusts that have to pay out 90% of their profits every 3 months. And I got a few that are paying between 10 and 14%. So I had a client that called me, said, Joe, why didn't you tell me about that before when I got into that 5% and 6%? And I says, because you told me you wanted 5% and 6% in liquid. And he says, well, I think I want to get some of that 10 to 14.
Do you have to explain to them, Joe, about the risk reward?
Well, of course.
Relationships.
You know, and you explain risk reward. You know, there's no such thing as free lunches in the world unless you're a politician, of course. So you have to understand what it is. But we can put in safeguards, which I like to do, put in stops and limits that can protect people on a downside in case. Anyway, we're just about out of time. Are we down to the 30-second watch?
30 seconds? Almost.
Almost. He's watching the clock hard. I'm telling you, this is hard on Dave. He's sweating because counting to 30 is tough on him.
This is the hardest he's worked all day, being a moderator in this thing.
Being a moderator. Hey, don't you like knowing that you're a moderator?
Yeah, he's a pastoral
moderator. Holy mackerel.
Can I put that on my resume?
Yes, you can.
Hey, we don't care. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221 is toll free from any place. 8990. And until next week,
okay.
I think, Pastor Dave, are we about done?
Yes, sir, in 210.
God bless y'all. Bye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.